I'm Matt Rippey.
I'm Davey Naylor.
I'm Simon Cole.
I'm Gary Fannin.
I'm William Meredith.
I'm Penny Ailes.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
UK.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 359, New Old Members. If you're listening to these podcasts in order, you'll know that last week was just me, my voice, talking for 16 minutes over the recording of the previous week's podcast. Now, it may seem hard for you to believe, but I actually genuinely really do get tired of the sound of my own voice. Ooh, I just heard the sound of about 1,200 people doing a spit take over the outrageousness of that statement. But I really do. Well, I should clarify. I get genuinely tired of the sound of only my own voice. So, imagine my delight when totally out of the blue, a sound file appeared in my Dropbox folder featuring the voices of the RSC UK. Matt Rippey, Davey Naylor, Gary Fannin, Simon Cole, William Meredith, and Penny Ailes. You will not hear my voice at all. You will hear them giving me and all of us an update on how the fall 2013 UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, is going.
We're back. We're sitting here, as a matter of fact, at the BBC studio in Nottingham, and in between live radio interviews. And we thought we would just welcome back two members to the Reduced Shakespeare Company who we haven't seen in a couple of years, Simon Cole and William Meredith.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
So good to be back.
We pulled you back in.
We tried to get out, but you just pulled us back in.
We've just finished one of the strangest radio interviews I think I've ever done, where yes. We were asked to do an ident for buttock clenching, which is perhaps even new for any of the other Reduced members around the table. But,
now, what is it about Judy Spires that causes her listeners to clench their buttocks?
I've no idea. I was clenched fully throughout the whole of the interview, but... Yeah. But yeah.
Just tell me to say it, I'll say it. I'm easy.
So how does it feel to be back?
Oh, good. It's been a little mini roller coaster getting back, but it's been great. I'm loving it.
And back in we last worked together on the Bible, the Word of God Abridged,
uh-huh.
In 2008 and 2009.
Yep.
But this is the Shakespeare Show.
Oh yeah.
Though you have done the Shakespeare Show, but you're now doing the Black Roll.
Indeed, yeah.
As well as green.
As well as green. So my brain is fried currently. It is completely gone.
Now, to be fair, was it that way before we started?
Well, yeah. It's frieder.
Right.
Frieder. It was kind of a seminal moment because putting on the Converse was very special to me. You know, we loved doing the Bible and had a really good time doing it. But you know, it's a different kind of outfit, and you wear the sandals there. So the Converse.
Certainly, the opening scene is a very different, outfit.
Yeah, you don't really wear much at all, do you?
But so but yeah, no, it's
very
true,
special.
Yeah.
And we jumped right in, not without rehearsal. We had literally minutes of rehearsal before we hit the road, so we were ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, from me and Rippy's point of view, it's always great having new fresh blood, you know, people who are seeing the show with fresh eyes as well, or different eyes, I should say.
And different energies.
Yeah.
Make us stop and think.
Different rhythms, and yeah, it always makes the show just that little bit fresher in a way, I think. So
yes.
Yeah, so it's great.
Cuz we can try to act like we don't know what we're doing. After all these
can
years,
try.
But it's sure special when we throw someone on stage who actually doesn't know what they're doing. That's awesome.
I would just like to point out as well that when Will first went on in his in the role of the Red, the Romeo role, we literally were snatching minutes of rehearsal where we could. You know, while we were sort of doing fit ups in theaters, we'd go in a dressing room and we'd literally like between furniture trying to rehearse poor Will into the show. And so, you know, we did do a dress rehearsal in the afternoon for him, and then that first show he did in the evening.
It's all a blur to me.
It is a blur.
But I remember the last bit.
Well, the thing that I remember was we got a standing ovation.
Standing ovation.
And not to say anything about any of the rest of the shows or any of the previous tour, but that was the first standing ovation we had.
Ergo, it was the best one. So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You know.
Coincidence?
I think not.
I think they all just wanted to get up and go for a pee, I think.
Yeah. So I think I think we've always said that, you know, this show needs to have that energy of, oh crap, I don't really know what I'm doing. And
I certainly had plenty of that energy.
And it worked. It really worked. So,
standing, oh crap.
I think it's my complete lack of rhythm that's added this new flavor to the show.
That's true. That's true. You are definitely a honky with honky hips.
Arkansas honky. That's me.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Arkansas, now last night the combination that we did was Rippy, me, Gary, and Will, and it was probably the first time in history that it was three Southern boys.
Oh, yeah.
Three honest goodness Yanks from the South.
From the South, two Texans and an Arkansian.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Woo. South will ride again.
Gallop of pace, you fire food states.
What have you guys been up to in the intervening years? I know you've been playing Psycho Killers.
Yes, I played Mark Chapman in a really cool play by Ian Carroll. We did it at the Actors Studio in Liverpool. And it's called One Bad Thing, The Murder of John Lennon. And we got really good reviews and good crowds in there. It's a nice, intimate little theater. And so, yeah, I got to murder John Lennon every night in Liverpool
you
for a
bastard.
Week. So they'd have to sneak me out the back. I wasn't the most popular guy in town. I mean, it was during Beatles week, so there are lots of crazy fans around.
And this is like, you know, this ain't no comedy. This is real acting.
As real as I could make it, yeah. We were firing real blanks on stage, and, you know, there was lots of smoke, and everybody knew what was coming, but still, you know, the tension, it was pretty much the polar opposite of the environment you get on stage with the Shakespeare show, that's for sure.
Right, so no breaking the fourth wall and doing little asides to cute girl in the front row.
Well, actually, interestingly, I do talk to the audience at the beginning of that show as well. I'm speaking to them as if they're a part of the camp, the group of kids that Marg used to look after. It's kind of a scary fact, but in the beginning, yeah, there is a little bit of interaction, which I thought was
so. It's just like the Shakespeare show. You come out, you make an announcement to the audience.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
I guess you don't pull out oxygen masks. And
No.
It ends in death. There is death at the end.
It's true. Actually, there are a lot of parallels. Looking at it from that perspective, sure. Okay.
Did you wear Converse in that show too?
I didn't wear Converse. No.
And the subject is an English legend as well. You see, so you know.
Good grief! Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Crossover.
Yeah. Forget what I said before. Actually,
it is like a holistic puzzle.
It's fake.
Where does Yoko Ono fit in, though?
We mentioned Yoko in the show. Yeah.
She doesn't really fit in anywhere, though, does she?
Hey, man. I'm sorry, but those backing vocals. That's quality. Don't you go dissing the yoke. And you've also, Simon, you've had like real grown-up jobs as well. You directed something?
I directed proper theater. I directed a couple of shows back in London, but I've also been on. I was on a year-long tour of an Agatha Christie murder mystery, which was Witness for the Prosecution.
Oh.
The butler did it. No. I can't say.
Well,
I can't say who did it.
That's a fantastic Charles Laughton movie. That is
absolutely,
really
yeah. Yeah, I know. It was a great cast, and it was...
Were you the husband?
I wasn't the husband, no. I was the forensic expert who came into court and blew all of the evidence away. And, it was great. I mean, it was good fun. It was weekly, so obviously we do nightly and enjoy the delights of the premiere inns.
The
purple
delight.
As Austin told me, it's a premiere.
A premiere in.
Yeah.
And a travel odge.
But this being so that year long was touring around.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
UK, like
everywhere.
What we're doing.
Kind of similar venues as well sometimes, but it's weird because when you're somewhere for a week, you have to get theatrical digs, which is landladies and landlords who let out spare rooms, or maybe it's kind of little annexes in their houses. And it's hit and miss, and you never know. At least with the Premier Inn, you know exactly what you're going to get down to the fittings. You know everything. You know where the plug is. You know where the light switch is.
Yeah, you know where Lenny Henry is.
Lenny Henry's right next to you. You have good night's sleep.
Wow, so is that digs the old-fashioned way where... well, I say old-fashioned, but... You have to sort out your digs?
You have to sort it out. You get a list. You get a list. You make the phone calls. If it's a nice place... Some of the other actors have already got into it straight away, and as soon as they know the tour, they're like, yep, we know, and I'm going to be with you on March the 13th. And so sometimes you the rich pickings are gone, and you get good, and you get bad. But that's probably a whole other podcast in and of itself.
Yeah, and I suppose if you're only doing one night a week, it's not too bad. We're like us, where we're doing nights a week.
Was one of the things that we decided early on with this tour. It would be absolutely ridiculous to have all you guys staying in digs for one night.
Oh, you know,
it'd be crazy. The logistics of driving and picking you all up.
Yeah,
and then driving to the next venue would just be mammoth.
Just the logistics of having to schedule time to listen to us whinge. That alone would have taken up a lot of time. Yeah,
I mean, whinge more. You know, we know what the collective noun for an actor is.
Yes, it's a whinge. A whinge.
Hello, my name is Judy Spires, and I work at BBC Radio Devon, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This is the last week to see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised in Hong Kong, but you still have over 2 months to see us perform it in the UK. Plus, this week we'll be doing all the great books abridged in Lakewood, Colorado, and next month you can see us perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged across the US and the world premiere of the complete history of comedy abridged at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to the RSC UK as Simon Cole talks about the lengths to which he will go in the service of comedy.
I fear my time with Reduced may be coming to a premature end in that, on Sunday night in Bromley, I threatened to punch a guide dog in the face. So maybe, I don't know, as soon as this gets out, as soon as this gets back over the pond,
Harry,
maybe that's
the guide
it.
Dog.
It was a very vicious looking guy.
It was,
it was
a beast.
It
was him or me. Yeah.
You know, just saying, just a little bit of sagely advice. You know, if it's between the blind guy and then the blind guy's dog, threaten the blind guy.
No, take the dog every time. What's the blind guy going to do? But perhaps more...
You immobilise him, then.
Exactly. You take him out the picture. What's more worrying is that got a really big laugh as well. So it says a lot about the people of Bromley that, you know, they're into doggy side. But I would point out I ran the London Marathon last year for Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Yay.
So I have an affinity with these people. And we made sure Harry... He was a canine partner. A guide dog. So he actually does all of the household chores for this lady. He kind of goes around in his little doggy way.
And she loved him. She tweeted us afterwards saying that she had a great time.
Did you notice? Didn't laugh once, did
he? There was a little scratch at one point.
There was
a little tail movement maybe when Ophelia came out.
On the stage. But yeah.
And what's it like playing... Now you've lucked out again, William. You're playing Red Roll. And
Red's my thing. I'm the enforcer. Don't mess with me.
And we've asked Simon to do Green and Black, which are... You know, many consider those to be like the polar opposites of the spectrum, and yet you flip-flop back and forth. Do you either, A, have a preference or any thoughts about what it's like to switch in and out of black and green?
I don't have a preference, and I was talking to Davey about this last night, in that what's obviously weird is that you get all of the lines coming back at you. You kind of say flip-flop, I'll do that mid-show. In the middle of Othello, I'll just throw in a black line if I'm playing green, just to keep everyone on their toes. But no, I mean, I love them both, and you get a very different reaction, obviously, because, it's like you say, it's kind of the each side of the spectrum. But no, it's just, it is that kind of weird thing that you have to not in any way block out the other track, but you have to just remind yourself before you go on. I got a little cheat sheet that I keep. Okay, tonight it is Torquay, it is black. And so I just keep very focused on that.
Right, and just get in touch with your, like, your inner green.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Out on one night and try to suppress your black.
I eat a lot of gummy bears if I'm doing green, and I drink a lot of coffee if I do black, so right.
Do you find now that you're doing more than one role, when you see somebody else do that role while you're on stage, what do you normally do? You look at them and go, oh, that was good, I might nick that.
I gotta steal that.
Or do
that.
You go, no, that was shit.
No, not at all, because it's the thing, it's a completely different stamp that each person gives to it, and a different flavor, and you get a different vibe. If one person's doing green that night, one person's doing black that night, and they were swapping around and doing things differently the night before, it's just really fascinating, and it's no other job, I have to say, no other job has offered that kind of thing. You know, I've done a role and I've understudied a role before, but it's never anything like this, you know, and you need to be...
Because your schizophrenic helps.
And that really helps,
helps. You're mental. Just tapping into that reservoir of mentality.
This is something that we were very aware of when we started this tour, for those guys who have been with us on these podcasts or, you know, been following the Reduced around the UK this last year. In the past productions, we've had three guys. Obviously, the show is three guys, and then we've obviously needed to have a backup somewhere. So we've normally had three guys and an understudy, and the understudy learns three roles and very rarely gets to go on. But at the beginning of this tour, what we decided to do is actually get four guys who learn more than one part, and we rotate things around. We keep things fresh. People do more than one part, so it means combinations. There are, I think, six different combinations we can have for the show. And it means that people get nights off, get rested, get to see other people in different parts. I think it works as a dynamically does. Better.
I think also it gives you an appreciation for roles other than your own, the one you may have learned originally. You know, if you've only ever done that one role, suddenly stepping into someone else's shoes and seeing, you know, as Rippy was just saying, you know, seeing your role sort of coming back at you, you know, what you consider to be your role, it gives you a different perspective of the show. It's like, oh, I see now. So if I'm doing this rhythm, that affects that person's rhythm and stuff. And it gives you that different perspective on the show, where I think, you know, a lot of times we do kind of get stuck in our own heads if we're doing just one role in a show, but suddenly having to do somebody else's role.
It gives you a paradigm shift.
In fact,
you know, I think Congress should practice this. They should switch sides of the aisle and look at each other through the other's eyes.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'd get somewhere.
No.
It is America we're talking about.
But it's like a great kind of workout as well, in that green is more physical and black is more loquacious, and you kind of you're exercising like a different muscle, as it were, each night. And then you can kind of mix it a little bit. And if you do black right on the back of green, then maybe black's more physical that night, just because that's the way it's been in the last 24 hours. So,
you definitely get to sort of flex your acting and comedy muscles doing different roles.
Totally.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. No, and like I say, it's unique. It's
I don't
never...
know which muscles you're flexing, but for me, it's definitely my buttocks. Inspired by Judy Spires.
Clenching away.
See, I'm clenching my buttocks.
What a great circular way to bring this round.
And to sign us out, just as a little favor, William, can you please do your end of Act One? Just give us a little taster for the U.S. Go on.
a little taster from...
For the folks back home.
Something my uncle used to sing to me, and I like to share with the good people in the U.K., you get a line, I get a pole, honey. You get a line, I get a pole, babe. You get a line, I get a pole, we'll go down to the crawdad hole, honey, oh baby mine. Yeah!
Oh, the sound will rise again.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your uncle's favorite ditties via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, old withered member Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Judith Milton. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Judy Spires from the BBC Radio Devon, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 359/1077th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I'd just like to lower the tone here now a moment and just a brief pause and reflection to pay homage to a great mecca for the Reduced Shakespeare Company, which sadly is no longer with us, the Captain's Cabin pub outside the Criterion Theatre, where we spent many, many, many a day and hour with our fellow reduced brethren, is no longer there. It has been demolished.
Cue strings.
So please can you press the string button, please? Thank you very much. And could we have a moment's silence, please, and have reflection on this sad, sad, sad day. Thank you.
La 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 la.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.